This morning we continue our study of the book of Nehemiah. If you have your Bibles, open up to Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 13 through 18. You'll get a break next week from me. Alan will be preaching. I'm going to preach at my son's wedding and get to do some more crying. So there you go. So here we are, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 13 through 18. This is God's holy and inerrant word. On the second day, the heads of fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and the Levites, came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. And they found it written in the law that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out to the hills and bring branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the square at the water gate, and in the square at the gate of Ephraim. And all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths, for from the days of Jeshua the son of Nun to that day, the people of Israel had not done so. And there was very great rejoicing. And day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day, there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. Lord, I pray as we consider this passage that again you would open our hearts and minds, give us understanding, and Lord, give us joy in our walk as believers in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. George Mueller, I've mentioned him numerous times from this pulpit, 19th century minister who was well known for starting the orphanages in Great Britain in the 19th century, was well known as being a man of prayer. Actually, he began his day in a different way than prayer. He said this: "It has recently pleased the Lord to teach me a truth, the benefit of which I have not lost. I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. How different when the soul is refreshed and made happy early in the morning. I saw that the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God and to meditation on it, that thus my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warned, reproved, instructed, and that thus by means of the Word of God, while meditating on it, my heart might be brought into communion with God." He finally said this: "I never begin work until I have had a good season with God and His Word." Now, we saw last week that the people of Israel were greatly attentive to the reading of the Scriptures by Ezra. What we're going to see in this week's passage is that that enthusiasm has not abated. It has not lessened at all, but the conviction that the people have for reading and doing the Word even increases over last week's passage. So let's turn to our text and see how this turns out. Let's begin by looking at verse 13, which gives us the context of the passage. It says this: "On the second day, the heads of the fathers' households of all the people, with the priests and the Levites, came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law." So it says there, this is the second day of the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar. The great reading that we just talked about, where Ezra read to the tens of thousands of square in Jerusalem, had just happened the day before. And what we see here is, on that very next day, we see all these leaders, that includes the priests and the Levites, they come to Ezra so that they could study the words of the Torah with him. The leaders came under great conviction. The Levites and the priests come under great conviction and say, go to Ezra and say, teach us the Bible. So, what we see here is a more select group than from the day before, and they want to increase their acquaintance with the Bible. They want further insight. They want better understanding of the Scriptures. And the reason for this, I think, is crystal clear. It was the Levites, including the priests, who were set apart to teach the Word of God to the rest of the people. So, isn't it amazing that even the teachers of the Bible come under great conviction that they need to have further training in the Bible? And that reality should never come to an end. That's what's being said here. That first day where Ezra was reading the law, even the Bible teachers come under amazing conviction. You know, sometimes I have to get up in the morning and slap myself. Or pinch myself, whichever. I'm so privileged that every day I get to study the Bible intently and deeply and then teach it to others. It is a most amazing calling. And though not all of us here can be teachers of the Bible, we can all be readers of the Bible. We can all be studies of the Bible. We can all be lifelong learners of the Bible. And I want to encourage you this morning to do that. I know we have a literate, biblically literate church, but there's more. And it's deeper. And it's greater. So I want to encourage you, take this to heart. There's great conviction here of the people of God and the leaders of the people of God. Now, I've talked to the leaders in this church. You need to be in your Bibles, studying, learning, loving it. It's God's Word. Now, note what happens when they study the Bible. Look at verse 14. And they found written in the law, they found something in the Bible that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. They discovered something in the Bible. They discovered in the Torah that God's people ought to celebrate what is called the Feast of Booths. Remember, this is the second day of the seventh month, and according to the Torah law, the Feast of Booths begins on the 15th day of the seventh month, and it lasts for 7 days. So, here are the people of God. They're on day two of the seventh month, and this feast is to begin on the 15th day. So they still have time to make preparations for this festival. They have 13 days. Can you imagine that? They found that in the Bible, and they go, in 13 days, this feast is supposed to begin. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do what the Bible tells us. Now, what is this Feast of Booths that's being talked about here? Well, first of all, it was a feast of rejoicing, a feast of joy. It was to be a gala affair in Israel, and its purpose was to commemorate Israel's journey through the wilderness after they had been redeemed from Egypt, and how God had provided for them abundantly and lavishly in the wilderness. He had saved them and then provided for them as the people of God. Now, what was it that the people in Nehemiah's day were reading? Well, the first possibility is Deuteronomy 16, 13 through 15. Listen to what it says. Deuteronomy 16, 13 through 15. It says, "You shall keep the Feast of Booths 7 days when you have gathered in the produce from your threshing floor and your winepress. You shall rejoice in your feast. You and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns. For 7 days you shall keep the feast to the Lord your God at the place that the Lord will choose. because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. Altogether joyful. To celebrate how God had provided for Israel by giving them the produce of the land, how he had delivered them out of Egypt, how he cared for them in the wilderness wanderings, and now here in the promised land, he provides lavishly and abundantly for them. That's what this feast is about. A festival of great joy, a festival of jubilation. Now look what happens in verse 15. They had found this written in the law, verse 15, that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns and in Jerusalem, go out to the hills and bring branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. Now, where that's written is in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, 39 through 43. Listen to this closely. Leviticus 23, beginning at verse 39. And this is what the Levites and priests and Ezra are reading. On the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest, and on the eighth day shall be a solemn rest. And you shall take on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. You shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It is a statute forever throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths. So that passage from Leviticus chapter 23 tells the Israelites how they are to celebrate the feast. The people are to go into the mountains and gather branches, and they're to return to Jerusalem and build booths or huts to live in for 7 days of the feast. Now, they do that because that's to remind them that their ancestors lived in temporary shelters as they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, yet God cared for them. And so what we see is the leaders in Ezra and Nehemiah's time, they want to reinstitute the feast, and so they publish this fact throughout the land of Judah. Let's celebrate the Feast of Booths. Let's rejoice over the Feast of Booths. So note what happens. Verse 16. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the square at the water gate, and in the square at the gate of Ephraim. So the people did what they were asked. They were moved. There was conviction among the people. We need to keep the word of God. And so let's do that. They go into the hills and they bring back all of these leafy branches into Jerusalem, and they set up booths in various places throughout the city. We see the Levites and the priests, they would have placed the booths in the courts of the temple. And it mentions it there. Those who lived in Jerusalem would put booths on their roofs of their houses. And then thirdly, the country folk are the ones setting up huts in the streets and the squares of Jerusalem, because it says in Deuteronomy chapter 31 that God wants this festival to be celebrated in Jerusalem. And so all Judah goes up there. They're all living in these booths for the 7 days of the festival, whether it be in the temple courtyards, be on the roofs of the houses, or be in the streets and the squares of the city. Most amazing thing, isn't it? Again, the huts are to remind the people of the temporary nature of their dwelling places in the wilderness and how fragile their existence was without God. Now continues, verse 17. And all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths, For from the days of Jeshua, or Joshua, the son of Nun, to that day, the people of Israel had not done so. And there was very great rejoicing. Now, this does not mean Israel had not celebrated the Feast of Booths from the time of Joshua to this time, because we know they did. What's going on here is they didn't celebrate it this joyously till the time of Nehemiah. They just went about the rituals. Ah, here comes another Christmas. Oh, brother. Here comes another Easter. Oh, brother. No, it's not ritualistic. It's not formula that's going on here. It's not formalism. It's not mechanism. It's not anything like that. They're celebrating with rejoicing and gladness of heart for what God has done to them. They're truly celebrating the reality of this feast. And as the verse ends there, verse 17, wonderfully, they were rejoicing greatly in God and His goodness to them. Look what it says. And there was, it doesn't say there was just great rejoicing, but it uses this superlative, me'od in Hebrew. There was very great rejoicing among the people of God. This is anything but formalism. True, heartfelt conviction of what God has done for them. Now, verse 18, final verse of the section, look what it says. And day by day, from the first day to the last day of the feast, he, Ezra, read from the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the rule. Ezra read to the people from the Torah every single day of this 7-day festival. The word of God is the very heart of the people's worship. And on the eighth day, after the feast is over, the people of God are called to have a solemn assembly. This is a Sabbath. The feast began on a Sabbath. It goes seven days. And then the next day is another Sabbath day. It's being brought to conclusion there. And the verse closes by saying that all this was being done according to the rule. All being done according to the scriptures. All being done according to the Word of God. A most amazing thing, isn't it? The conviction the people have come under in just these 2 days, and then followed by the feast. A most amazing thing. How the Spirit of God has worked in the hearts of the people of God. Now, in the New Testament period, this Feast of Booths goes by another name. It's called Feast of Tabernacles. And by the New Testament period, the feast became spectacular. A spectacular affair and ritual. It really became one of the highlights of the entire year in Israel. The people of Jerusalem would set up booths as in Nehemiah's day, but more was added than what we just see here in the Old Testament. Each morning of the festival, which is 7 days long, the priests would make two processions. Now picture this. The first procession was the priests would go, and they themselves would collect leafy branches, carry them back to the temple, march around the altar in the outer courtyard, and then build a booth around the altar. And then on the seventh day, the great day, the great crescendo of the Feast of Booths, the priests would march 7 times around the altar. On the seventh day, marching 7 times around the altar. And the number 7, of course, in Hebrew, symbolizes totality and completion. This seventh day is, as I said before, the crescendo that celebrates with complete joy the sustaining hand of God. The altogether joy the scriptures talk about. On this seventh day, a most amazing scene. But there's a second procession during the New Testament period. It was also done each day of the feast. And it reached its climax on the seventh day. And what it was this. The priests of Israel would march down to the pool of Siloam, which was the water source for Jerusalem. They would fill up these huge jars with water and then carry them back to the temple. And all of Judah, all of Israel is there watching, tens of thousands of people. And they would take these jars and they would pour the water down the temple steps. And as they were doing that, they chanted from Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, which says this. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. It's a glorious scene. This water ritual was joyful. It pointed to God's deliverance and salvation and redemption of his people, that they had been redeemed from slavery. And that ought to evoke thanksgiving and praise from God's people. A great, you can just imagine that scene of joy in Israel, jubilation over what God had done. Now, the Feast of Booths is the setting of an important event in the life of Christ. It's only two verses, but it's striking. And it's found in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 38. Let me read this to you. John 7, 37 through 38. Listen closely to this. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Did you observe that? First of all, that Jesus' teaching occurs on the seventh day of the feast, the climax of the feast. The festival is at its crescendo. And here are the priests pouring the waters of salvation down the steps of the temple. And Jesus proclaims, "If any man is thirsty, let him come to me for drink." Jesus, of course, is speaking metaphorically, is he not? If one is in need of spiritual drink, if one has a spiritual thirst, if one is parched in the soul, if one needs true salvation and true redemption, he need only come to drink of Christ. Jesus, and only Jesus, is able to satisfy that thirst. Thus we see that Jesus is the fulfillment of this joyous Feast of Booths. That feast that symbolized thanksgiving and praise and joy for salvation finds its true and ultimate and final substance in Jesus. And once we understand that this is what the scriptures are teaching us, then we ought to respond as did the people in Nehemiah's day in verse 17 of that passage. "And there was very great rejoicing." Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, what a joyous scene we see in the Old Testament with the people of Nehemiah's day celebrating the Feast of Booths, that feast that commemorated their salvation. And oh Lord, how we're struck by how that's fulfilled in the New Testament with the coming of Christ. If any man be thirsty, let him come to me and drink.